shares of Buffalo Wild Wings going bonkers after the casual dining chain reportedly gets a $2.3 billion buyout offer from a private equity firm. Investors licking their fingers Tuesday, sending the stock soaring 25%, its biggest one-day surge in more than 8 years. Roark Capital Group has put a lucrative offer on the table, according to the Wall Street Journal, weeks before current CEO Sally Smith is set to retire.
Well, meantime, over to Australia, and the country has voted overwhelmingly in favor of same-sex marriage. Those numbers just crossing just about an hour and a half ago, ending a long-running chapter of a divisive political debate.
One of the key conservatives who opposed this was Kevin Andrews. He appeared on local media a short time ago, saying he does now expect marriage equality to become law, and these discussions over concessions for religious exceptions.
Meet the artificially intelligent email bot helping you troll scammers. NetSafe, an online safety non-profit in New Zealand, have built Rescam to waste email scammers' time. NetSafe Chief Executive Martin Cocker says it begins when people forward a scammer's email to the bot. Rescam uses humour, grammatical errors and local New Zealand slang to make its personas believable, annoying scammers by asking question after question in a polite but frustrating manner.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's November 15th. 5:12 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. We have a really good broadcast for you today. A lot's going on this morning around the world. We'll update you on some business stories here momentarily. In a minute, we'll bring in our first guest. We'll talk about the best and worst company party holiday cities, where does Chicago rank in there? And why are we even surveying this at all? We'll bring that to you first this morning. In our second segment, we'll be talking about the 2017 Sustainable City Mobility Index, which is measuring all kinds of things, but mainly how we walk and use transit in our city. This might be important as we try to attract Amazon. All of that's coming up today on The Opening Bell. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off 137 points this morning as investors show more concern about whether or not the tax bill will be able to move forward. We'll tell you why about that in just a minute. NASDAQ futures are down about 33 points. S&P futures are off about 14. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally lower in Asia, with the Nikkei off almost 351 points. The Hang Seng is off 300. Shanghai is down just a fraction. Markets in Europe are also lower this morning, with the DAX off 165 points. That's good for a percent and a half. The CAC is off about 30. That's about a half a percent. And the FTSE is off about a half a percent in London this morning as well. And crude oil is at $55.05 a barrel, down almost a percent as well. So what's going on? Why are people concerned? Here's why. The Obama health care law, which was part of a failed effort to repeal and replace Obamacare, is now part of the tax bill. What started out as this tax bill is now morphing into tax and health care. Senate Republicans are intent on scrapping the Affordable Care Act requirement that Americans get insurance, targeting a repeal of the individual mandate to help finance deep cuts in their tax overhaul. The surprise renewal yesterday has fueled the concern about whether or not this can be moving forward. Already a number of lawmakers were concerned about just the tax bill. Now you have that entire group of lawmakers who voted against the repeal and replace that could put this bill in jeopardy, the tax bill, that is. A couple of other stories, too. Good news again for Boeing aircraft this morning. The Boeing company in Chicago says it has inked a deal worth $27 billion for a sale of 225 Boeing 737 MAX aircraft to Dubai's low-cost carrier, Fly Dubai. And speaking of air travel, Delta Airlines and Virgin have stopped serving hot meals from Gate Gourmet at Los Angeles International Airport after listeria was found in the caterer's local kitchen. Well, our first guest this morning is with us to talk about some of the best and worst company holiday party cities. Michelle Reisdorf is Regional Vice President of Office Team. Michelle, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning.
Well, why are we surveying this before we get into the nitty-gritty of all of this?
Well, I think it's just a good time of year to remind people about good office party etiquette, and a lot of people are just interested. What are the most fun and most extravagant cities?
Well, let's talk about them. Who's number one? Who's last?
The most fun on the list is New York, number one. And not last, but tied for 10th place is Chicago.
And what kinds of things make you a good holiday city? What would be help you get that top score?
Well, I think it's things like, do employees feel appreciated? Is the event keep the employees in mind? So, you know, a lot of companies will ask for input so that people, you know, feel like they're part of the celebration. Being creative, you know, sometimes it's not just about the budget, but a company brainstorming about creative ways to build camaraderie at the event. And really, I think it really goes back to just being employees feeling like they're showing some appreciation at year end.
Yeah, and I guess if you have a nice holiday spread versus some bagels and cream cheese, that's the difference, isn't it?
Well, sometimes. Interestingly enough, we also rated on most extravagant. Chicago was number 9 on that list. New York, again, ranked number 1. But I think, you know, nowadays companies are finding themselves on a little bit tighter budget. So I think, you know, as long as you still plan some activities maybe that the employees are interested in, get creative, people still feel like it's a great event.
Michelle, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to continue with Michelle Reisdorf, Regional VP of Office Team. We're going to be talking more about the best and worst company holiday party cities. We'll talk about some trends here as well.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, investors were in retreat on Tuesday, leaving the Dow Jones 30 points lower at 23,409. The S&P 500 index was down 6 points. The NASDAQ composite off by 20 points to close at 6737. Fashion retailer Forever 21 has put its customers on notice. Check your credit card statements. There may have been unauthorized access to data from payment cards used at some of its stores. The company can't say yet which locations were involved. In its latest bid to attract new customers, Sprint is teaming up with Hulu and offering its users free subscriptions to the popular streaming service. The deal officially launches this Friday. In response to consumer demand for healthier products, Butterball hopes to update its image this Thanksgiving by offering whole organic turkeys. Butterball produces more than 1 billion pounds of turkey every year. It wants to avoid overselling the new offerings, and so it's planning a low-key rollout of organic birds. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 522 now. Michelle Reisdorf is with us this morning. She's a regional vice president of Office Team, a staffing firm that is powered by the Robert Half Company. Michelle, we've been talking about the cities that were surveyed for the best and worst company holiday party cities, Chicago at number 10 on that list. What else did you find out about some of these cities? Like, for instance, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles was rated as most number 3 most fun on the list and number 2 most extravagant.
And probably because of Hollywood and entertainment?
Yes, absolutely.
What about New York?
New York rated number 1 on both lists for most fun and for most extravagant.
And Austin was in there too for something, right?
Yes, Austin was number 6 on the list for most fun.
We talked about some of the cities on the parties here not being overly extravagant. What's the trend in this area? Are those fewer and far between?
Yes, absolutely. Budgets have definitely become tighter for companies. And, you know, many find that kind of the black tie gala has gone away. So a lot of companies are definitely doing much lower key celebrations, sometimes even events that incorporate volunteerism.
And I know that's becoming a big thing in a lot of cities where instead of doing a party, the whole staff from company gets together and does something like build a house for Habitat for Humanity, or they go out and volunteer at a soup kitchen. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely. You find it really builds office camaraderie, and it's a real good chance for a company and employees to give back to their local communities.
As we head into the holiday season, every year the question comes up, do I have to go to these holiday parties? Is this important for my standing at a company? What are the trends here?
Well, you know, definitely missing one holiday party is not going to end your career, but I definitely think it's better to attend when you can. We know it's holiday seasons are always hectic, but it is an opportunity for you to build rapport with others throughout your organization And it's also a good opportunity to just forge those bonds with your coworkers. One thing we do find is a lot of our senior executives will be watchful for high potential employees during those situations as well. How well do they mingle, get along with other employees, build relationships? Do they have good interpersonal skills? So I think it is always a good opportunity where you can to attend your holiday party.
Ah, so the boss will be watching to see for a potential promotion or demotion, perhaps.
Sometimes, yes.
One of the other things I thought was interesting along this line, 47% of the people in your survey said that the parties, they felt that the parties were optional. 38%, or was it 28%, thought they had to go to those parties. How do those numbers compare to like past years?
I think they're probably about the same as in past years. I think it's all about how the company presents the party, right? If they get the word out early enough and involve employees in the party planning process, then there's less of that feeling that I have to go versus I really want to go.
What advice can you give us if we're planning to go to our company party? What are the do's and don'ts?
Yep. So tips for employees. You definitely want to mix and mingle. Celebrations are an opportunity for you to, you know, again, meet with people you don't necessarily work with every day. We recommend curbing shop talk. You know, we know it's hard to get together at a company party and not talk about business, but, you know, it's a social setting, again, where you can get to know your colleagues. Don't be a Scrooge. We know the holidays are a stressful time for people, but you want that to be a positive, upbeat event. And, of course, limit libations. You always have to be careful to drink in moderation. Holiday parties are still a work event, so, you know, sometimes tough to remember that as a year-end celebration.
Yeah,
and last but not least, you know, I'd say dress the part. Again, it's still a work event, so anything, you know, too offbeat or revealing, you want to make sure you stay away from.
Don't be the guy or the gal with the lampshade on your head and wear something appropriate. Michelle, thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank
Michelle Reisdorf, of Regional Vice President at Office Team, powered by the Robert Half Company, a staffing firm. Here are the numbers again. The cities: number one, New York, tied with Minneapolis. Number two, Miami. Number two, Des Moines, tied with Miami. Number three, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Indianapolis, Washington D.C., Austin, Cincinnati, Seattle, Houston, Dallas, and Chicago.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Bench Prep, a Chicago startup that helps large education companies create online test prep tools for students, is growing fast and moving into a new 15,000 square foot space on the 57th floor of Willis Tower. The startup sells its tech to companies like McGraw-Hill and ACT and plans to double its headcount to nearly 80 employees next year. Portillo's is growing its food delivery operations with San Francisco-based delivery company DoorDash. With DoorDash, Portillo's now offers on-demand delivery to the majority of its national markets. And the city of Chicago has found a simple way to improve your Red Line commute during Cubs games. Earlier this year, the city tested a program where commuters were offered fair rebate incentives via text message if they took alternative transportation during peak commute times. Nearly 1 in 5 commuters took the incentive, reducing Red Line congestion during weeknight Cub games. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. The 2017 Sustainable Cities Mobility Index is out. The study put together by Arcadis, a global engineering design and consultancy firm. We're going to talk more about it this morning with Leanne Thomas-Foster, who's an associate vice president at Arcadis. Leanne, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I hope you're doing well as well. Let's talk a little bit about your study. But first, tell us what it is that you mean by sustainable and what kinds of things did you study here?
Oh, sure. Well, the Sustainable Cities Mobility Index is a comprehensive report. It looks at sustainable transportation. We measured 100 cities worldwide. We commissioned a renowned research sufficient or renowned research firm called Center for Economics and Business Research from London. And this study explores three pillars of sustainability, which are the social, which is the people aspect, the environmental, which is the planetary aspect, and the economic, which is the for-profit aspect. We also looked at 100 cities for sustainable urban mobility systems. The goal was to demonstrate the understanding of mobility challenges in urban cities.
And so the things you focused on are airport. I'm guessing airports here, transit, getting around basically is what you were looking at.
You know, quite a bit. So there's three pillars like we talked about. So there's the people, the planetary, and the profit. So for the in terms of the people indicators, we looked at several different indicators, like fatalities, for example, the traffic fatalities per 100,000 inhabitants. We looked at the access to public transport, which are how many buses and metro stops are within per square kilometer of the city, rider connectivity in terms of, let's say, Wi-Fi in the tunnels, 3G, 4G, the upkeep of metro systems, which could include the expansion of existing transit systems as well as many other aspects. In terms of the planetary aspects, we looked at the transportation greenhouse gas emissions, the provision of green space per certain areas of the city, congestion and delays, bicycle infrastructure, as well as air pollution. And then on the profit side, we looked at the total average commuting time from here to there in the city, economic opportunity, which includes transportation system revenues as a share of expenses, public finance, how much of the city's budget are being spent on public transport, the efficiency of the road networks, how quickly we're getting from here to there.
Well, let's talk about Chicago's strengths and weaknesses. Where does Chicago rank here out of North America and globally?
Oh, sure. North America, it ranks 7th overall out of 23 North American cities. It's 20 in the U.S. and 3 in Canada. In terms of, so we'll start there. So in terms of its strengths, it did really well with access to transportation, like bus and metro stops per square kilometer. Our airports serve incredibly large numbers compared to other cities around the world. We have a lot of high active commuting. And what that means is it's folks that take the buses and trains to work, but also utilize their bikes to go to the remainder of the route or walking. We have very high electric vehicle incentives in Illinois. And then, like I talked about earlier, the digital capabilities like 4G on Wi-Fi and our fantastic Venture app as well. And best of all, the Chicago system is relatively affordable. In terms of the improvements compared to other cities around the country and around the world, there's an indicator called modal trips, and it says that overall commuters don't use the system at a high rate of speed compared or high rate compared to other cities. In terms of air pollution, and like most U.S. cities, a high level of greenhouse gas emission brings down its environment ranking compared to other European cities. It also indicates that Chicago needs to reduce its dependency on cars, reducing parking lot systems and potentially adding more green space, and also providing more bike lanes and shuttle incentives, and also maybe creating some type of efforts to reduce emissions and maybe even along the lines of a low emission zones like other countries throughout the world. We also ranked in terms of 100 cities globally, we ranked 49th. Which is pretty good. We're in the upper half.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. So I'm going to go back and hit a couple of things that you mentioned there. First of all, affordability, because this is in the news this week. The regional transportation agency and the local CTA talking about raising fares. We all grumble about this, but when you talk about affordability being decent here in Chicago, how do we fit in with other cities on that area?
You know, and that's a really good question, Steve. We rank average, actually, sort of in the middle, if you will, dependent on other cities. I don't have the indicators directly in front of me, so I apologize to see where we're at exactly in the middle of that. But my recall was we're somewhere right in the middle. We're not necessarily the most affordable, but not the least.
So there are other places that are definitely paying more for their transit tickets, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
One of the other things, too, that you talk about here is biking, finding other ways to get these cars off the roads. The report talks about biking culture in the city as being one that's up and coming.
Yeah, I'm surprised myself. I worked for the city for quite a bit of time, and I know for us, Milwaukee Avenue is one of the most highly routed bike lanes in the city, and I know it's doing exceptionally well in terms of its density. But yes, you know, quite frankly, I'm not quite sure about the nitty gritty of the details that they went into to create that determination. But keep in mind, this is a comparability study between other cities, not necessarily a report card, if you will.
Right.
So when they looked at the bike lane volumes in other cities, we probably ranked somewhere in the mid to higher level.
Yeah. So now that this report's in place, a lot of eyes are probably going to be going on it, especially since we're in the running for the Amazon headquarters too. What kinds of things will this show to potential businesses wanting to locate here? Will they use this as a guide?
You know, we certainly hope so, Steve. I mean, our goal was to demonstrate to other cities, you know, how they could improve their transit systems, how could they improve mobility. And in Chicago, you know, faring 49th out of 100 cities globally, I feel that that's actually pretty good. And if, you know, for us having very dense bike lane traffic, for us having accessibility to, you know, buses, to trains. I mean, we have the Metro, we have the Amtrak, we have a bus stop, I mean, pretty much on every square block and within the dense urban areas of the city. I mean, there's a lot of accessibility from businesses to residences and for people to get in and out of the city fairly quickly. Where we scored a little lower was on the ability to move people via car quicker. And so it would be interesting to see as we move ahead in the city if we could find other ways for more efficient traffic, like trolleys or other efficient ways and modes of transportation. I mean, I think with the expansion of the red and purple line modernization program, you know, the $1.1 billion grant, I think certainly will enhance the traffic patterns within the city and increase the ability for riders to take the CTA and reduce the overcrowding.
Yeah, you mentioned that this is not necessarily a report card, but it is something that the city can look at and the state can look at in terms of plotting what's next. What would you say would be the first things to maybe be addressed if they're doing that?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, some of the things that we looked at were creating these low emission zones, which I found to be interesting. It's where we have very high levels of greenhouse gas emissions or high density of pollution, and creating these low emission zones where the mayor's working with businesses and the public facilities to reduce greenhouse gases. And maybe it's through incentivizing riders to begin taking their bikes to work, for example, maybe through bike programs. I know at one of the former places I worked, we had established a bike, it was actually a bike room where we could take our bike inside, lock it out of the elements, and not be worried about whether or not it was going to be raining or snowing that day. And if we had to take public transit home, we could, and then come back and take our bike the next day. It would be, let's say, reducing parking lots and maybe opening up areas in the city for high volume ridership. Maybe there's more, like I said earlier, like more trolleys or other. I know we had created the zone on, I think it's Washington Street, where we allowed for buses to be able to transfer to and from east to west quicker, more efficient among cars in the center of the road. It's definitely looking at decreasing commuter travel times.
Yeah, I know that it's a little bit future looking, but I want to ask you, looking to the future, how will autonomous vehicles play into these kinds of reports in the future, do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I would hope that we start looking at, especially in city centers, identifying areas where we could do a lot more ride sharing, you know, and especially in corridors, if there's incentivization to decrease costs, like, for example, Lyft and Uber are doing currently, where they, you know, it might be a $4 commute to ride in a pool versus a $17 commute to ride alone. And if we continue those types of incentives on self-driving vehicles as well, I would think that the density of especially vehicles on the road that are causing most of our low ratings would be better for us in Chicago. Yeah, self-driving cars, you know, I've also seen within Kelsen RTKL, one of our sister brands, they had provided a talk recently regarding a lot of malls creating areas for these automated vehicles, transports, drop-offs, and pickups. as well, which may also increase bulk ridership within those vehicles.
Well, Leanne, some good information here this morning, and we want to thank you for joining us and sharing some of it with us.
Oh, sure, and I appreciate your time as well today.
All right. Leanne Thomas Foster, Associate Vice President at Arcadis. It's the 2017 Sustainable City Mobility Index. We're going to link it out to you, too, but you can find it at arcadis.com. That's ARCADIS.com. And again, we'll link it out on our Twitter page and in the podcast of The Opening Bell later this morning.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures off 119 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are lower by about 30. S&P futures lower by about 13. More now on agriculture and commodities. Here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Not a good day for the corn market yesterday at the Chicago Board of Trade. Prices down 1.5%, hitting a one-year low, pressured by ample supplies from the nearly completed harvest of what will be the second largest domestic corn crop on record. Soybeans also followed corn lower. Improving crop weather in South America. December corn ended down 4.75 cents a bushel. January soybeans down 6.5 cents a bushel. Meanwhile, December wheat climbed up 3.75 cents a bushel. Taking a look at the livestock market yesterday, there also some low prices, particularly for the lean hog contracts, down to the lowest level in a month. Lower trending cash prices, with December hogs ending down $2.32 a hundredweight. And then when we take a look at the cattle market, also lower there, down to a two-week low. December cattle finishing $1.07 lower, and the feeder cattle contract followed live cattle futures lower. Maybe we're making some progress in NAFTA, who knows? But yesterday, the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said that he believes NAFTA negotiation will produce some sort, his words, some sort of a deal for President Trump to evaluate, but he repeated his warnings that the United States is willing to walk away from the trade agreement if key issues are unresolved. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, November 15th. A couple of economic reports today. The commercial real estate forecast is released. Manufacturing and trade inventories and sales for September. Advanced monthly sales for retail and food service for October. The consumer price index for October also out today. The House Rules Committee will set the rules for debate on the tax bill on the House floor, with a vote expected on Friday. Target, Cisco, and L Brands among the companies reporting earnings today.